anybody likes. So, amen. All right. So, listen. So, last week I said part one, this is going to be part two. And one of the things I said last week was, you know, as a sinner, the world, we need to point everybody to the cross, right? You have to get to the cross. Once we get to the cross, we've now come to the other side of the cross, right? So we 2 weeks after Easter, and my whole purpose behind this is to understand that when you've given your life to Jesus, there's a whole other life now that you have to live. And you don't live, you know, trying to get to the cross, trying to be good enough. You live from the resurrection, from the cross. And there's an amazing life that God has ordained for us to live from the resurrection. And those are things that, and I'll show you what Paul said, is that we need to know and we need to do this stuff. We need to live differently. Christians are called to live differently. Not in defeat, not being a victim, you know, not being depressed. We've been called to conquer, to be overcomers, to be victorious, to triumph, to win in life, to reign in life. The Bible says that. You know, when I say winning and reigning, I'm talking sin, conquering sin. You know, it should not have rule over you. I'm talking poverty and lack. I'm talking sickness and disease. I'm throwing everything in there. Yeah. Amen? You know, the Bible, New Testament is so much full of joy that it says, you know, you need to count everything joy. Stop walking around with your head down and, oh, woe is me. Why does this stuff happen to me? Why did I catch COVID? You know, why this? Hey, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm going to conquer, and I'm an overcomer. Amen? This doesn't preclude us from having issues in life, going through trials and tribulations. The Bible says we're going to do that. But we have victory. We overcome in this life. And the Bible says it's our faith that overcomes. So go to 1 John chapter 5. I want to talk about a topic this morning. If you want to put the graphic up, I want to talk about something called Zoe. Z-O-E, Zoe life, Zoe. Zoe is a Greek word. I know a lot of people name their kids or their girls after this name, Zoe. I want to explain it, understand why it's so important to us, the difference between that word and another word that we use in the English or a Greek word, and why it's so important to understand Zoe life. Okay? Good? Everybody ready to rock and roll? You got your seatbelts on? We're going for a ride. 1 John chapter 5. This is our main text for today. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. All right. Ready? It says this in the New King James. It says, and this is the testimony. Now, understand, let me start over. John the apostle is writing this. And he is writing this to the church. He's writing this to Christians. This is not for the unsaved, the non-believer, the Gentile. This is for us, the church. Good? It's written to us. Got it? So this is written to you and me. It says this. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So who is it written to? Us, because we believe, right? He says, these things, watch this. He says, these things I'm writing to you. He says, if you have the Son, you have life. The word for life is Zoe. He says, if you have the Son, you have Zoe. Ready? And he says this, that you may know. Watch this. He says, let me read this again, verse 13. Underline this. This is real important. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. See what he says? He says, I'm writing this so you may know. The Greek word to know in the Amplified says that you understand, that you acknowledge it, and that you live it. That you know like you know like you know that you have eternal life. And he says, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So, of course, there's two words, eternal and life. Eternal means forever, right? And the word life, though, the word life specifically here is Zoe. He says, if you have the Son, you have Zoe life. Now, let me say this, that eternity does not begin the day you die. Eternity begins the day you accept Jesus Christ. Yes, brother. I will say it again. Eternity begins the day you accept Jesus Christ. It does not begin the day you die. You don't enter into eternal life the day you die. You enter into eternal life the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? So the question is, what is this eternal life? What good is it if I have it now, if I got to wait till I die to go to heaven? Is there something more to this eternal life? And I'm going to show you that Jesus said there is so much more to this eternal life that we are called to live this life. Eternal life. Zoe life. Amen. Not just life. You know, how many, you know, you can get up in the morning, right? You have your coffee. Monday morning, tomorrow, you have your coffee, you get dressed, you get ready for work, right? You get home, you're tired, you dinner, you go to sleep, you start all over again. That you could say that's life. No, that's not life. This life that he's talking about is Zoe life. It's God's kind of life. It's the God life. Amen. Amen. Say amen or oh my. Either way, it's true anyway. Praise the Lord. All right, so Romans 6:23, right? What does it say, Romans 6:23? It says this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? So it's a gift. It's been given to us. I said this last week, that Jesus did not die for himself. He died for us, right? Everything he did on the cross, he did for us. He didn't have to come down. He didn't have to become a man. He was perfectly happy in heaven doing his thing. But he came for us. And here's the thing. We know Jesus gave his life for us. Ready? But he also gave his life to us. Let me say that again. See, you should have said, say it again, Mom. That was a good place. To say it again. Yes, brother. Jesus didn't just give his life for us, he also gave his life to us. I'll show you scriptures. Woo, baby. So this Zoe life has been given to us. This gift of Zoe life has been given to us to live here. Good? Everybody good? Okay. So, the whole end game of the resurrection was not just for us to be forgiven or to go to heaven. The whole end game, and I'll show you, the end game was that we would have eternal life, that he would give us his life. He didn't give it just for us, but he gave it to us. Remember, the gift of God is eternal life. John 17. Look at John 17. Okay, let's get into some of this meat. John 17. John 17, verse 1. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke. Everybody there? Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he, ready, should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So notice he says that he should give, Jesus has the power to give eternal life. He gives it to whom he wants. Whoever believes in him is who gets it. Correct? So this eternal life is a lot more than just going to heaven. This eternal life has so much into it that we, look what he says here. He says that as many as you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. Remember what John said, he says that you may know what is eternal life. So he's saying there's something in here that allows us to know him more. It allows us to get closer to him. Now, when Jesus walked this earth, he lived with this eternal life in him. Jesus was born of a virgin, right? Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was not in Adam. He was not born of Adam. Therefore, he had eternal life already in him. So when the storms came, Jesus tapped into that eternal life in him and spoke from there. Do we agree Jesus had eternal life in him? So what was in him that allowed him to speak to storms? The eternal life. It flowed out of him. When demons showed up, what flowed out of him to cast them out? Eternal life flowed out of him. When he healed the sick, eternal life flowed out of him. When Lazarus, how did he get Lazarus from the dead? Eternal life flowed out of him. John 7:38 says that if you believe in him, he said, rivers of living, Zoe life, Zoe waters, would flow out of you as well. Same word. So that life in him flowed out and allowed him, enabled him to heal, to raise the dead, to cast devils, to speak to storms. When they had no food, eternal life multiplied food. Zoe life. Now, ready? So Jesus shows up on the scene, and Satan and every demon in hell took notice, because for the first time in 4,000 years, a man walked this earth with eternal life. Oh, let me say that again. The first man who had eternal life in him was Adam. And he sinned and lost it. Right? And in Genesis chapter 3, the very end there, God said this, kick him out of the garden. Because if they eat of the tree of life in the state they're in, they'll never receive eternal life. Listen, when Adam and Eve showed up, Satan showed up. The serpent showed up. Why? Because they had God inside of them. They had Zoe life inside of them. He took notice and went after them. Jesus shows up, and now Satan is like, wait a minute. I haven't seen a man walk this earth with Zoe life in 4,000 years. I thought I took care of it. Talk about having a bad hair day. Satan had a really bad hair day at that point because he thought he took care of this forever. And now a man shows up with eternal life in him. He knew that, man, I'm going to have some problems. This guy is going to cause me problems. I need to get him to sin. If I can get this man, Jesus, to sin, he can lose his eternal life, because that eternal life is going to cause me problems. So what did he do? He took him up on a mountain, right? Three times he tempted him, and Jesus could not be tempted. He couldn't be fault to sin. He was sinless, holy, because he wasn't in Adam, he was in God. He was God. And he had that eternal life. Satan couldn't touch this. But then what happens? What happens? Jesus is raised from the dead, and now God the Father says, now you give eternal life to whoever calls on your name. So now, listen, Satan now has a room full of walking eternal life people in his room right now. So you think he's, you think he had a bad hair day before? We horrify Satan right now because all of you people have eternal life in you and you can walk around doing amazing things. But he knows he can't take it from you. So what he does is he tries to make you think it doesn't work. He continues to condemn Christians, make us feel guilty and ashamed. So why? So you can't live Zoe life. Who are you to lay hands on a sick? Who are you to pray over your food and multiply it? Who are you to speak to storms? God said, no, that's what life is all about. He said, Jesus did it, and I expect you to do it. Peter did it. Paul did it. They lived that eternal life. A snake bit Paul, and what did he do? He just shook it off. He said, eternal life lives in me. Can't touch this. And they said, he must be a god. And the whole island of Miletus got saved. Listen, Jesus said this, Mark 11, verse 12, Jesus wakes up in the morning and he speaks to the fig tree. And the fig tree dies from its roots, right? You know the story. The next day in Mark 11, you know, right after that, Peter says, Jesus, look, the fig tree that you cursed is dead from the roots. And Jesus said this, you can do the same thing. Verse 23, put it up there. Put up verse 23. He said, whoever, for surely I say to you, whoever speaks to this mountain and shall believe in his heart, shall not doubt, you know, what he says, he'll have whatever he says. He says, you can do it too. This is not a God trick. He says, when eternal life starts to flow inside of you, he says, you too can speak to and curse these things. Romans 8:11. Put it up on the screen. Romans 8:11 says this, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, it gives life or quickens your mortal body. In other words, when the spirit of God lives in you, that eternal life lives in you, you can tap into that or allow it to penetrate your mortal body. And it'll heal your body. When I had COVID, I had it twice. When I had it, I said, nope, you're not taking me out. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in my body. It gives life to my mortal body. So listen, COVID, eventually you're going to leave. And I'm going to stand victorious. You ain't taking me out. You ain't taking any of my church members out. I don't care. We're going forward. And everybody who had COVID in here, the one thing I told you is tap into the faith, the God inside of you. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Rise up in faith and you'll conquer this thing. You will make it through. 1 John chapter 5. Go back there. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I ain't making this stuff up. This is not just crazy, funny stuff. We're supposed to live according to this Zoe life. Mark 6, go to 1 John 5. I'll go to Mark 16. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? Then you overcome the world. I mean, come on, John just doesn't say things that are not true. He didn't have to submit his scripture to the ministry of disinformation. You didn't get that. You will. He said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith, our faith. He says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Why? Because if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have this thing called eternal life. And it lives in you. It bubbles inside of you. It just sits there waiting to flow out of you. Mark 16, Jesus said, he says, go and lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. He said, if you pick up serpents and scorpions, they won't poison you or kill you or anything. And he says, demons will be cast out. He says, you'll do signs and wonders. Why? Because of this eternal life. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ forever. This eternal life must be some good stuff. It must be amazing stuff. You are made of amazing stuff. I'm not diminishing God. I'm not putting God down. You understand? I'm just trying to speak your language. But man, this thing inside of us must be some crazy, amazing, life-giving, devil-stomping stuff. Praise the Lord. This thing raises dead people, heals cancer. And why isn't it that we're living it? Why aren't we living this eternal life? John 10:10. You can put it up on the screen. John 10:10. You go there in your Bibles. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I have come to give you Zoe. And he says, and that Zoe more abundantly. The word abundantly in the Greek is perisotero. It means in excessive quantity and quality. So he came to give us a life that it's excessive in quantity and quality. It says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going back to the garden. He said, but I'm 4,000 years. Here I am. I've got eternal life, and I'm looking to give it away. And he says, and this life that I'm going to give you, it's excessive in quantity and quality. I have come that you may have life. I've come that you have Zoe. Spiros Zodiatis, he's a Greek scholar. I know, you're like, who? Spiros. Let me tell you what he writes in his commentary about Zoe. Ready? He says, Zoe is very different than the Greek word bios. Anybody here, biology? It's the study of life, right? Bios is another word for life in Greek. It's what we typically use. The science world uses bios. Bios, like in computers, the bios, right? Biology. And he says this, he says, bios means physical life. He says, but Zoe, ready, is a much nobler word. Wow. When I read that, I was like, nobler? Wow, this is like noble, nobility. He says, it's a much nobler word expressing all of the highest and best which Christ is and which he gives to the saints. It's the highest blessedness of the creature. Zoe life. Amen. He basically says this, that Zoe is the highest form of life that anybody can have, a creature can have, meaning us. Let me give you W.E. Vines. Anybody have W.E. Vines? W.E. Vines is another commentary. He says this about Zoe. Ready? He says, this life we have is not merely a principle of power and ability. Right? Everybody loves power and ability. Yeah, I can cast out devils. I can heal the sick. I can do that. He says, no. He says, you're limiting Zoe life. He says, it's not about that. He says, this life is not merely about power and ability. However, it is the moral association, which is inseparable from living holy and righteous. I'm going to say it again. I will say it again. W.E. Vines, very, very big, good scholar, Greek, Greek scholar. He's not Greek, but he wishes he was Greek, but anyway. He says, this life, this Zoe, this is Zoe. This life that we have is not merely a principle of power and ability. However, it has a moral association which is inseparable from living holy and righteous. So if you're limiting eternal life to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and do all these crazy things, great things, signs and wonders, he says you're limiting Zoe life. Zoe life is really what keeps us living holy and righteous, conquering sin, saying no to the temptations when they come, saying no to the addictions when they come, saying no to mental oppression and depression when it comes, saying no to the things that want to tear you down. Remember last week I said these are perilous times, they're designed to smash you? Well, when the things come to smash you, Zoe life says, no, you ain't smashing me. He says, I have eternal life. I got Zoe living inside of me. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to live righteous. I'm going to live according to the word of God. We don't live according to the law. We live according to eternal life. Eternal life says, love one another. Eternal life says, no, I'm not going to sin that way. I'm not going to do what the carnal, you know, the Gentiles do. We're living holy, righteous, above board. Jesus is the assignment. You know, he says, you know, I know my assignment. Jesus' assignment was not only to forgive us of our sins. Listen, if you don't realize this, your sins were forgiven under the Old Testament for a year only. Granted, now it's forever. But he didn't come just to forgive us our sins. He came to give us eternal life. That was the assignment in the resurrection. The whole death, burial, and resurrection, the end assignment, the end game result was that he gave us eternal life, Zoe life. What good is being forgiven of your sin if you just go back and keep doing it? So he gave us eternal life to stop the sin, to conquer it, to say no. That's Zoe. You can't stop having a victim mentality. You are no longer a victim. If you are, Jesus died in vain. He causes us to triumph. He's given us the victory. He says we can reign in life with Zoe. I'm not giving in to sin or mental depression or all these emotional illnesses or physical sicknesses. Listen, there's a time coming when 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed, and this corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. You know how that happens? When God speaks to the eternal life in you, and he says, okay, let loose. Boom! I know I'm kind of making it up, but boom! Eternal life then floods this mortal body, and you're changed into a whole different being. Right now, he says this. He says that eternal life says things in there, you can leak little of it, and it can heal your body. Ephesians 3:20. Am I too much for you this morning? Ephesians 3:20. It is my heart that you live a victorious life. Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That eternal life is in you. And Jesus said, you need to let the river flow. Live from that eternal life. Praise the Lord. All right. 1 Timothy 6. Listen, I don't know who it is, but I just sense there's somebody in this room. You've been struggling with thoughts of death. There's somebody in this room, I don't know who it is, you've been struggling with thoughts of death. It actually has been consuming you lately. I just want to speak to you and declare you have Zoe life in you. I believe that's a word from God for somebody in this room. Stop thinking death. You're not going to die today. Oh, preacher, you can't guarantee that. If you tap into Zoe life, I can guarantee it. You're not old enough yet. Your body will expire one day. Not yet. Today's not your day. You have eternal life living in you. I'm talking to somebody who's young, who's not, if not there, you're not ready to go. There's somebody here who needs to hear that. Stop thinking death. You're not going to die. You're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. 1 Timothy 6. Let me wrap this up. I know I'm getting a long-winded preacher. I hate long-winded preachers. Praise the Lord. I know, right? If they're boring. 1 Timothy. I hope you're learning something today. Eternal life, man, is something else. Boy, it'll rock your world. Zoe life. 1 Timothy 6. Let's finish up with these scriptures here. 1 Timothy 6. You ready? Verse 12. Let me get there. 1 Timothy 6, 12. I want to read it from a couple of different translations. All right, 6:12, ready? It says, fight the good fight of faith. Watch this. Lay hold on eternal life. That's Zoe. Lay hold of it. In other words, grab it. This is Paul talking. John told us that you may know this thing. You may know how to live this eternal life. Right? Timothy, and now Paul is telling Timothy, he says, lay hold of it. Watch this. He says, to which you were also called. Let me read it from the Amplified Version. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of the eternal life which you were summoned to. Timothy was a young man. It's like Pastor Brian, Paul and Timothy. He's telling Pastor Brian. If Paul was here, he would tell Pastor Brian. He says, lay hold of eternal life which you were summoned to, Brian. It's your assignment. It's what you're called to do. In other words, he's telling all of us, you were called to eternal life. What does that mean? All right, Pastor Brian, sorry, I'll do your funeral tomorrow. It doesn't mean he's dying. Eternal life in this sense doesn't mean he's dying. It means he has something in him that God has called him to. And he said, now you, Timothy, you, Brian, go out, lay hands on the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, do signs and wonders. He says, stand against sin, live holy, live a righteous life. Go and teach others to do the same, create disciples. Why? Because, Brian, you've got this eternal life living inside of you, and you're called to it. Notice this. He says, lay hold of what you're called to. But before that, he says, fight the good fight. Let me put those two together, and then I'll stop. And then we'll continue next week. This thing called eternal life that we're called to, that we're supposed to live in abundance, excessively in quantity and quality, right? Notice he says, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. Fight the good fight, right? Didn't 1 John 5:4 says, right, this is what overcomes the world, what? Your faith. In other words, this thing that something is coming to oppose you, living eternal life. He says, but you're called to it. This is what God has for you. And he says, you're going to have to fight for it. Well, Pastor, I'm tired of fighting. Fight. Just fight. It's a good fight. Because you win. Get up, don't quit, don't give up, you keep fighting. Because we always win. Jesus never lost a battle, never lost a fight. And he's coming back again once and for all to finish the fight, to put In 1 Corinthians 5, he said, 15, he says, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" He's saying, "I'm going to deal with this once and for all, but until I get there, you fight the good fight of faith. You keep walking around this earth, living rivers of living water flowing out of you. You live victorious. Live as an overcomer. Live more than a conqueror. I've called you to this life." Say, "I'm called to this life. Resurrection life. Zoe life. I'm going to live this life. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray for the Philippines. He's Philippines is coming May 9th?
No, coming national election.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. You got it. Amen. I thought you were coming to give me money. Because I preached such a good sermon. I thought she was going to put like a... She was, you know, you ever see that, you know, Pentecostal thing? People go to shake your hand and they slip 100 in you. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ooh, what was that? Praise the Lord. That's called Zoe life. What? Oh, okay. We're going to pray. Can you prepare us for communion? Everybody ready? We're going to pray for the Philippines. Winter, Kevin and Jody's daughter, is in urgent care with 104 fever. Don't free. Don't free. No. Listen, we got eternal life. See, when we hear those things, say, "I got it. Got it." One of my teachers, my Bible school teachers, his name was Cooper Beatty. He was 90 years old, and he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And the whole class knew about it. He walks into class, and he says, "Okay," he says, "let me say this one thing before we start. Don't you ever ask me how I'm feeling." He says, "God's got this. And I ain't dying from it." That's all he said. Guess what? He lived another 10 years, healed, completely healed of pancreatic cancer. And he kept teaching Bible school till the day he died. So when we hear these things, yeah, we're concerned. We're absolutely concerned for little Winter. But we don't go, "Whoa." We're like, "Praise the Lord, we got the answer. We're going to lift Winter up right now in the name of Jesus. We declare Winter is healed. That sickness, that fever has got to go. It's got to go right now. We speak the ever-living power of God into her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the name that is above every name. At the mention of his name, every knee should bow, every tongue confess. Sickness, disease has to bow. Fever, you must bow your knee. In Jesus' name, we declare the Philippines will be a godly nation. They'll pick a godly president. Their godliness will rule and reign that nation in the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. You need to make these confessions over your family. "My home is blessed. My body is strong and healthy. I will not die of cancer. I will not die of COVID. I will not die of a sickness and disease. I will die when I'm ready to go. Unless Jesus comes back, I'm going to live a long and satisfied life, full of the life of God inside of me." Eternal life, Zoe life. Say this, say, "I have Zoe life." Amen. Glory, glory, glory. You should jump and shout a little bit. Listen, when I said before, I meant it. There's somebody in here, I don't know who you are, struggling with death thoughts. Stop it. Seriously, stop. Don't let those thoughts give birth to